The Lord be with you. A proclamation of the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that was covering his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who arrived at the tomb first. He saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. My brothers and sisters, the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I'd like to reflect with you this morning on this Easter message along this line. This is the title of the message. Thank God it's Sunday. You see, the world always says, thank God it's Friday. But there's an older Christian tradition, older than that expression of late, that said it's maybe Friday, but Sunday's coming. And that's the older tradition. And that's the tradition I'm talking about. So I say to you today, thank God it's Sunday. I said, thank God it's Sunday. See, we've gotten out of practice. For 40 days, we haven't been able to say the word Alleluia. Just try it out. Just say, Alleluia. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're reflecting today on this topic. Thank God it is Sunday. Jesus had to go through his Friday, but his Sunday came. Now, there may be someone in the church today that is on a Friday. You come into the church and you're weighed down. You're struggling. You have a difficulty, something that's weighing on your heart. Maybe it's about the job. Maybe it's about a lack of a job. Maybe it's about a loved one who's sick, maybe dying. Whatever it is, if you're on Friday, I just want you to know, Jesus promises today, as he steps out of the tomb, your Sunday will come. I want to talk to you about a journey that John, the beloved disciple, made. He was a little stuck on Friday, and the Lord got him to Sunday. He had a journey to make, to come out of the Friday kind of thinking, and to come into more of a Sunday kind of thinking. It starts out, this gospel, in what I might call, John starts out in what I might call reaction mode. You know, sometimes life happens, and we just react. Hardly with any thinking, we just go into action, we react. Maybe somebody says something unkind, and boom, without even thinking, we say something unkind back. That's what I call reaction mode. Or maybe some bad news comes, and immediately we're in a tailspin. Hardly even thinking, we're in that spot. So this is what is referred to as reaction mode. I'm going to contrast it in a minute to reflection mode, but start with me as we look at John here and see how he gets into reaction mode. It actually starts with Mary Magdalene. Mary goes out to the tomb early in the morning, it says, and it was still dark. Now, what that means, church, is he's not just telling you the time of day. I want you to understand something about John. John never just gives us information just to give information. There's always another level. Are you praying with me on that? So he says it's still dark. What he's saying is that Sister Mary can't quite see yet. Her vision, she's still stuck on Friday herself. She's got tears in her eyes. It's still dark. She can't yet see. She doesn't yet get it. She doesn't understand. And so here she comes to the tomb. And she sees that the stone has been rolled back. Now, the text doesn't even tell us that she looked. Other gospels tell us that she looked and discovered that the body of Jesus was gone. So let's just presume we have that information. But it says here that Mary, she looks now. Now remember, church, pay attention. How many times had Jesus said he would rise? All right? But these apostles and his first disciples, they didn't quite understand it. They didn't get it. They didn't retain that. So it's still dark. Now she's looking, church, at evidence for the resurrection. But let me ask you, does she conclude resurrection? Aha! Didn't he say he would rise? She's not there yet. It's still dark. Mary is looking at evidence of the resurrection. But you know what she says? Grave robbers. She immediately goes to the negative, doesn't she? I don't want to pick on Mary. We do this too, don't we? But let's just stay with Mary for a minute before we talk about us. Let's keep the subject on her for a minute. We don't want to talk about ourselves, do we? She's looking at data. It's just information. And notice what she does. Instead of saying, my Lord delivered hundreds and thousands of people from bondage. I saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Aha! Instead of going to the positive, even despite all of that background, all of the good things she saw Jesus do, she went, boom, right to the negative. She's in a panic. She says, grave robbers. And she runs. She runs. Now, church, now it's time to talk about us. Our life has lots of data, too. A lot of information comes our way. A lot of events. Things happen. Good things, bad things, things that seem to be neutral. What do we do with that data? Well, I can't talk about everybody in the church, but I was not born yesterday. And I know how we human beings usually are. We often do the same thing. We conclude we immediately emphasize the negative. You know, every day, 10 trillion things go right in your life. Do you know that? You say, oh, you're exaggerating, Pastor. I'm not exaggerating. Think of every detail of the world around us that God takes care of so that we can live here. The earth is just where it needs to be in its orbit. Do you know there's a magnetic field around the earth that deflects some of the harmful rays of the sun so that we're not cooked like we were in a microwave? God does all that. Every fiber of every cell of your being, God is sustaining and maintaining. God is doing all of this. Are you praying, church? Do you see? Every day, I'm not exaggerating, 10 trillion things go right, and maybe about a half a dozen things go wrong on a bad day. And what are we going to think about at the end of the day? You know, I was not born yesterday. I'm in this with you. It's so easy for us to say, oh, this didn't go right, that didn't go right. I think we must give God a migraine headache. All the good things He does for us, and then a few things are challenging, and we're just complaining. Now, here it is. We're like Mary Magdalene in a way. There's a lot of good stuff happening, but we're only seeing negative things. Now, I did say only, but I don't mean only. I think some of us have learned to give thanks, to focus more. But it's a journey we have to make, isn't it? You know, I had to be up a little later last night than usual. Some of us did, choir, and a few of you were here last night at the Great Easter Vigil. And you know, I went to bed, and this morning the alarm clock rang. And I clutched my blanket, hit the pause, the snooze button, more than a few times. I growl, complain. But church, I eventually got up. And I want you to know that despite the negative experience of having to wake up maybe a little earlier than I wanted to, maybe the experience of getting up like I did this morning, it made me think. I want to ask you to pray for a brother priest of mine, Father Bill Finch, pastor at St. Raphael's in Rockville, Maryland. Father went to bed on Thursday night after celebrating Holy Thursday Mass, one of the most beautiful days for a priest, to celebrate Mass on the great high feast of the priesthood. Father went to bed that night and he did not wake up Friday morning. The Lord called him in the middle of the night, died in his sleep. But I was able to get up this morning, another day to get ready to see the Lord. And I need that time. And I was able to get up this morning. See, I can look at the data of having to get up at 6 o'clock this morning and grumble and complain. Or I can say, thank you, Lord, I had the strength to rise today. There are some who don't. Thank you, Lord, I could hear the alarm clock. Some cannot hear. I thank you, Lord. I think of my father and his last 3 months. He had no strength to get out of bed. All the strength had gone from his limbs. It was amazing to see such a man who was so strong be felled like that, and not even be able to get out of bed. So weak. And I just got up this morning, grumbling, yes, but generally speaking, without effort. Thank you, Lord. We all have data in our life, things that come to us. When the first hour of the day is hectic, perhaps tomorrow morning, when the kids can't find their socks, the toast is burned, tempers are short, someone got in the shower and took all the hot water. But I thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord. You see, there are some who are lonely, some who haven't been able to find a spouse, begin a family. April 15th is coming. You have some taxes to pay. But thank the Lord you have some income to be taxed. There are some today, in this church I'm sure, who right now are looking for work and wish they did have income tax to pay. We complain about our huge heating bill, but that means we're warm. I complain that my clothes are getting a little tight. It's not about the water shrinking in my clothes. It's about the fact that I'm well fed. Not everyone is well fed on this planet. You see what I'm saying, church? There's a lot of data in our life. And we can look at the negative stuff. And that's Friday thinking. Or we can begin to look at the positive things, and even those difficult, and things that we wish were a little different. Things that we wish weren't so frantic or frustrating in our life, but yet still are still signs that God is blessing us. Are you on Friday or are you on Sunday? Well, you see, so John here, Mary Magdalene is in reaction mode. She sees data, which actually is very good news. It's good data, but she interprets it in a negative way. And I'm just saying to you that we do the same thing. Now, notice that she runs to John and she runs to Peter. And they do the same thing. They're all of a sudden in a panic. They've taken the Lord and I don't know where they put him. And now they're in a panic. Uh-oh, grave robbers! Now you see, careful church, because when you're negative, you tend to bring other people into your negativity. And if somebody comes to you who is negative, don't go there. Stay in your own lane. Stay with your own stuff. Praise the Lord. But nevertheless, there's a lot of Friday thinking. And if we're not careful, we get drawn right into it. Now, even be careful about the news you watch. Because, you know, it's a little biased. I'm not talking about politics bias. I'm talking about it focuses on the bad stuff. It's about all the stuff that went wrong today. If the airplane lands, no news. If the airplane doesn't land, headline. If it bleeds, it leads. If our kids aren't graduating, that's in the news. If our kids are getting honors, you won't find that on the news. Now again, I'm just saying, we got to be careful because we live in a world where there's a lot of Friday kind of thinking going on. I'm not saying there aren't serious issues out there, but I'm just saying there's other things to look at as well. So it is, the first thing we notice here in John's journey from Friday to Sunday is he's in reaction mode. Mary's in a panic, now he's in a panic. Now, the next thing I want you to notice, though, is John begins to edge towards Sunday here when he gets out of reaction mode and he gets into reflection mode. It says here in the text that they start running. They're in a panic. They're not just saying, well, let's go on out and check this out. They're running to the tomb. They're in a panic. Are you praying? It says here, though, John begins to outrun Peter. Now, I've heard some people say, well, that's because he was younger. Yeah, right. But there's always more going on in John's gospel. We've already made that point. So, he begins to run faster, and he gets there first, and he makes some observations, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I want to suggest to you what this picking up the pace as he runs, what that's all about. In the book of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, it says this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings of eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Who? Those who hope in the Lord. They are the ones who renew their strength. So I got to figuring that as John is running, now you see, when you're running, you can't talk to the person next to you because you're too busy breathing. Especially when you're running fast. Don't talk. This is not a leisurely jog. So John starts to get alone in his thinking. He's away from Mary. He's not talking to Peter, but he's starting to go into what we call personal reflection. I think it's called prayer. Remember that old word, church? Some people used to do it. Prayer. All right. Praise the Lord. A lot of us still do it. He starts a praying. And I got to figure that John started singing a gospel song. At least in his, yes, I have it on the best of authority. And that the Lord had him singing a gospel song in the depths of his heart. He began to run. He starts to go faster and faster as he begins to sing, I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Now, nobody told me that the road would be easy. It are Fridays. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I just know the Lord Jesus didn't bring me this far to leave me. He began to think, wait a minute. He raised Lazarus. He cast out blindness. He healed deafness. The lame would walk. The deaf heard the words of God. Oh, I think he starts to think, this is in grave robbers. Wait a minute. Didn't he say that on the third day he would rise again? And we didn't really take him seriously. But now, what does this say as he's running? It's the third day. And John starts to run faster and faster and faster. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings of eagles and run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. Oh, John is picking up speed now. You see, John is reflecting, and he's beginning to edge towards Sunday. He's not out of Friday yet, but he's heading towards Sunday, church. Are you praying? How about for us? Do you live a reflective life? Do you ever really sit down and just pray? Maybe some people say they do pray when they get out and run or take a walk. Just getting apart, reflecting. What's going on in my life? What is the Lord saying to me in the events of my day? How can I understand and interpret what's taking place in my life? Do you ever really apply the gospel to your life? Do you understand that the basic Christian message is, you want to interpret your life? Here's how you interpret your life. You are dying with Christ and rising with Him to new life. Period. That's it. That's your life in a nutshell, if you're a Christian. We're experiencing the dying of Christ within us so that we may experience also the rising of Christ to new life in us. And some of us may be experiencing that dying now. Some of us the rising. But that is my life story, and that is your life story. Reflect. Don't just react to life. Stop. Think. Pray. Reflect. Or you're going to be stuck on Friday all your life. And then finally, you just die. Another Friday. But no. Sunday thinking requires a reflective life. Someone who can apply the Word of God. Church, I want you to know something. I cheated. I looked to the end of the Bible, and I read the end of the story. And you know what I found out? Jesus wins. Every enemy is put down, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and Jesus is King and Lord, and Jesus lives forever. And if you're with Him and you're on the winning team, you're going to win. Oh, church, that takes reflection, though. Well, the third thing, then, John makes another step towards Sunday. Because John, who has already now been reflecting, thinking, praying, moving out of reaction mode into reflection mode, now John is able to look at the data in a completely different way. It says here, he waited for Peter to arrive. And then Peter went in and John went in after him. And what did John and Peter see there? It says there that they saw the burial cloth lying stretched out there. And the cloth that had covered his face, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up and in a separate place. Now, okay, a little bit of explanation so that you understand how John would have seen this evidence. First of all, in the ancient world, not unlike today, they buried people in some decent clothes. You know, today, I remember when my father died a few years ago, we went and we searched for one of his best suits. Really make Dad look good there, you know, for the last viewing. And he was buried in one of his best suits. And in the ancient world, when a person died, they got the best linen. And they wrapped the body carefully. Beautiful, fine linen. And they put with it costly perfumes. And then the most special cloth of all was a beautiful silken face cloth called the sudarium, covered the face. The most expensive piece of cloth of all. So you see, if a person was going to rob the grave, they're not after the body. You'll find that in a ditch somewhere. They're after the burial cloth. And yet John looks in and he says, wait a minute. This isn't grave robbers. They would have taken the cloth and left the body. And not only that, the other thing I want you to know about this, in Greek it says that the cloths are kemahi, which means they are lying stretched out. What that really means is you need to sort of imagine the body of Jesus wrapped up in these cloths, and then the body just disappears and the cloths just fall right down in place. You're following that? A very strange thing, because the body was all wrapped up in these cloths. You couldn't just climb out of it and leave it stretched out. Church, something amazing has happened here. The body just disappeared from there, and the claws dropped right in place. And the face cloth was carefully taken and rolled up carefully and set aside. Hallelujah, church. This is resurrection. Now you see, John was in reaction mode.
They've taken the Lord. Don't know where they put him. Grave robbers.
But John begins to reflect. And now John can look at the very same data differently. He sees something different because he's taken the time to prayerfully reflect. And then he goes to Sunday. It simply says, he saw and believed. Notice, he hasn't seen the risen body of the Lord yet with his physical eyes. But he now believes he lives. Are you praying, church? You see, John has come to the same kind of faith that you and I have. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas? Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and you believe. But blessed are y'all who have not seen but have believed. And there is evidence. First of all, there's the evidence of the church. Those who were there at the time testified, and they handed this faith on to us. And there's the evidence of our faith. But I don't know about you, but I've got some other evidence in my life too. There's some stretched out burial cloths in my life that I can observe too. What has the Lord done in your life that are the equivalent of the stretched out burial cloths? Have you ever been bound up by sins that you're set free from now? You know, church, some of us might be able to testify, I used to be so much more angrier, and the Lord has cooled the heat of my anger. I used to be so much more resentful, so much more anxious, so much more, I don't know, addicted to... Church, has anyone been set free in this church by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? That's evidence, church. That's the burial clause. You've died to those sins, and you've risen to new life. You know, I was meditating this morning. I used to be so anxious about everything. I would lose sleep over the littlest things. I don't do a lot of that anymore. I'm like anybody. I occasionally get anxious. But, church, the Lord has set me free from so much just dumb stuff that I used to worry about. Hello? Anyway, can anyone say amen? Has the Lord worked in your life like that? I used to be so much more angry, resentful. And the Lord just kind of just cooled so much of that. I'm not going to tell you I never get angry. But I'm going to tell you it does not happen nearly as much. Church, the Lord is setting me free. That sin is being put to death in me. Those sins. And I'm starting to see some burial cloths stretched out where the body has risen to something new. You see, it's not just that I'm less angry, but I'm more joyful, more compassionate. I love people more. I think earlier in my life I barely tolerated people. I had a few close friends, but basically I just tolerated everybody else. But the Lord has increased my love, and I want to say as I look out to you today, I love every one of you. Praise God. And there's some of you that I don't know and I want to get to know, and I hope you come every Sunday so I can get to know you and love you. Church, we're not just supposed to not hate people. We're actually supposed to love them. New life. More compassionate. Can anyone say that you've become more compassionate, more loving, more kind, more patient? I hope so. And you're not boasting. You're just saying, look what Jesus is doing for me. I couldn't do it, but He did it. So finally, in getting from Friday to Sunday, remember, John was in reaction mode, being negative, and it's so easy for us to do that. But he began to reflect through prayer. He began to see the data of his life differently. And he began to start to count the blessings, and he saw and believed. I want to just tell you a little story, and then I'm done. A woman I saw many years ago who's passed away now, and this was back at St. Thomas More, and when I first went there, and she lived just up the street, and every Friday I would bring her communion. And I'd walk up the street and I'd say, "Ms. Lillian, I'm here to give you communion." She says, "Oh, is it Sunday?" I said, "No, Lillian, it's Friday." She says, "Oh, I thought it was Sunday." You see, her mind was beginning to fail. But whatever her sufferings, she always thought it was Sunday. Praise the Lord. I said, "Well, actually, Lillian, it's Friday." I didn't always understand what she was telling me. Oh, her mind is failing. She doesn't know any better, right? I think deep in her heart, she knew it was Sunday. She'd come to a point in her life that with Alzheimer's or other physical afflictions, still she could say, "Gee, I thought it was Sunday." And on the day of her funeral, I was able to finally look to her casket and say, "Lillian, I can now confirm for you that it is in fact Sunday with the Lord." Church, I promise you, there are Fridays in life. But don't get stuck on those Fridays. There are some Fridays to get through. But I promise you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose gloriously this morning, I promise you that if you are faithful to Him, every Friday will become a Sunday. That Friday is always on the way to Sunday. Don't get stuck on Friday. Don't let the world say, "Thank God it's Friday." It may be Friday, but I promise you, Sunday is coming. Look at the data of your life. Even your sufferings, even your sorrows have led you to better places. We know that the cross has a place in our life, that it brings us to better places. The cross of hard work, the cross of suffering and sorrows, even the cross of goodbyes open up new doors. The Lord knows what He's doing. He allows Friday. He didn't exempt Himself from Friday, but He promises Sunday to every one of us if we are faithful. Well, you don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Now the song says, you don't have to worry. Now you can choose to worry, but you don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, "I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand, no matter what may come my way, Lord. No matter what Fridays, my life is in your hands." And so I promise you, church, it may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. Amen.